victory. Amen. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And all the time. Amen. It's good to be here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with all my brothers and sisters in Christ. We are so glad that you are here. And as we conclude this series, march forward and stand firm. And I hope this series has been an encouragement to you thus far. It has been an encouragement to us. I believe it was a very timely word for this church, and you know, who knows what we will face in 2022, but one thing is for sure, we're going to march forward in the purposes of God for your life, for the purposes of God for this church, and we're going to stand firm no matter what. We won't be shaken in our faith. We won't be moved. We're gonna hold fast to Jesus. Amen. He is the cornerstone. He is the solid rock upon which we stand. All the other ground is sinking sand. Christ alone. Amen. So this morning, the title of this one is Standing Firm with Steadfastness. And so we've been talking a lot about marching forward and what that looks like. And we talked about our disciplines. And how many of you guys have really taken up the challenge this year to say, I'm going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to worship the Lord. And we see a few hands going up. Thank you for that. Thank you for your commitment to doing that. And it's been an encouragement just to see all of you guys just commenting, like in the text where you comment what the Lord has spoke to you. And we encourage you to continue to do this. Then we talked about, you know, marching forward with serving and what that looks like and how Jesus came not to be served, but to serve others. Amen. And then we were to march forward in the gathering and that we were to gather together. We were not to forsake the gathering of the brothers and sisters in Christ. And even more so as the time draws near that the Lord's going to return, that we need to gather. We need to be about coming together in the house of the Lord. Amen. So today we're going to look at the standing firm part with steadfastness. We're going to look at one scripture. It's in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. And from this one scripture, we're going to draw out three observations. Amen. And I hope this will help you as you remain steadfast in your walk with the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." That doesn't sound very exciting, right? It means that trials are coming. Turn to your neighbor and say, trials are coming. You've been through some trials, but even more trials are coming. Amen? Amen. It says, count it all joy. We're like, joy, really? We got to be excited about our trials? That's what the scripture says. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so just a quick definition of steadfastness. You guys know I love definitions and love examining the words a little bit closer. It says the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and suffering. Constancy. What an awesome definition. What an incredible word steadfastness is. So the first observation is this. Steadfastness comes from the testing of your faith. It doesn't come any other way. You don't just magically wake up one morning with steadfastness. Steadfastness comes through experiencing trials. And there's no other way around it. You experience trials, and steadfastness comes as you are on the other side of that trial because you know whom you trust. You know that it is Christ who has brought you across that trial. And so steadfastness comes from a season, from over time of going through various trials. You can pray for steadfastness and know that the Lord will give you more trials. Amen. So continue to pray for steadfastness. We need to be steadfast. We need to be immovable. But just know that as you pray for steadfastness, trials are bound to come. Steadfastness comes from the testing of your faith. Now, there are several examples in the Bible of men and even women of God who have had their faith tested. One stands out to me. His name is Stephen. And Stephen's not talked about too much. But Stephen, I like Stephen because he was just going about his ordinary business. And so he was appointed by the disciples to wait tables at the distribution for the widows and the poor. Now, if you have served here during the distribution, during the hurricane relief, you kind of know what that's like, waiting a table and distributing to those who are in need. It's not a very fun job, right? It's not a very glamorous job, but it was needed nonetheless. And nowhere do we find Stephen complaining about this, but we find him being faithful to what the Lord had called him to, and he remained steadfast. One day, as he's waiting tables and distributing to the poor, some religious leaders came from the synagogue and began to accuse Stephen of blaspheming against God and of blaspheming against Moses. Of course, this was not true. They were just trying to, they were just trying to find a reason to get rid of him, because the movement of Jesus, the movement of Christ, the movement of the gospel was just taking root, and people were being saved, and people were coming to know Christ, and they were no longer worried about the laws and different things like this. And so Stephen is falsely accused, and he is brought before this council of scribes and elders, and they're looking, they're trying to find something wrong against him. And don't you know that's how the world functions? They're like, whenever you call yourself a Christian, whenever you call yourself a believer in Christ, that they are coming after you. They're saying, oh, well, you did this. You can't be a Christian. I can't believe you acted like this. I can't believe you said this. That's what the world does. The world tries to discredit who you are, tries to discredit your testimony, ultimately because it's trying to get at God. It's the enemy is our adversary, and he is the enemy of God. Amen. So he wants to kill the God that's in you. So Stephen, he's before this council, and the Lord put something upon his heart, I believe, and he had this decision. Will I say what I feel is in my soul that I should say, or do I just cower and not say it at all, knowing that this could cost him his life? That if he proclaimed the name of Jesus to these scribes and these religious leaders, that this would enrage them, that they would get so angry at him, and that he could lose his life. Stephen, a man who is steadfast, a man who is unswerved from his purpose. He is unswerved from his purpose. He knew what the Lord had called him to do, and with boldness, he begins to declare the mysteries of God. He begins to point at them and says, look, you are a bunch of hypocrites. You are the ones who crucified Jesus to begin with. As you can imagine, that didn't sit well with them. They began taking stones and began stoning Stephen. Even in that moment, he is so steadfast. He is unmoved, unswerved from his purpose. He continues to hold to the hope that he has in Christ. And in that trial, in that adversity, God gives him a glimpse of heaven. He shows Stephen God. And then he shows Stephen Jesus. And that was enough to spark hope in Stephen. Say, this is where I'm headed. I'm going to the other side. There's a hope within me because I am founded in Christ. I'm going to remain steadfast even to the end of my life. And that's what happened. Stephen remained steadfast till the end. As you know, he was killed at this moment, and they took his robes and they threw it at a man's feet named, at that time, Saul, who became Paul. You know, and so you look at this trial, and it didn't end well for Stephen in the physical realm. But in the spiritual realm, we know where he's at because he got a glimpse of God. He got a glimpse of where he was headed. He was headed to be with God in the presence of Jesus. He remained steadfast. He had unshakable faith. Amen. How many guys want that kind of faith this morning? Like, no matter what, no matter if you're faced with, I mean, right now we live in a free country, but I'm not sure that's going to remain. And what if one day that you're faced with the decision to renounce your faith and live, or deny Christ, or proclaim Christ and die? What will you make? What choice will you make at that moment? What choice will you make? Will you remain steadfast? Will you have unshakable faith? You know, the only way that Stephen was able to have that kind of steadfastness in his life is that Jesus was his cornerstone. Amen. The scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." If you believe in Christ, you will not be put to shame. He is a solid cornerstone. Amen. You can build your life upon Christ. It is sure, it is absolute. And if you build your house on sinking sand, you know what happens then. But if you build your house on a cornerstone, Christ, the solid rock, you will stand in the midst of trials. I like another scripture where it refers to our faith like an anchor. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, it says, "We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So Jesus is referred to not only as a cornerstone, but our faith in Christ is referred to as an anchor. Now, I'm sure everybody in this room has been fishing before, right? This is South Louisiana. You're pretty much born with a fishing pole in your hand, right? When you come out the womb, boom, here's your fishing pole. Welcome to South Louisiana. And so you understand the concept of an anchor, where you take the anchor and you throw it out, and it secures that boat very securely. So if the wind and the waves start pounding against the boat, you're going to remain steadfast. That's if you have a good deckhand, right? If you don't have a good deckhand, doesn't know what he's doing with the anchor, then you're going to run adrift. So anyway, just to kind of bring this analogy even to a greater level, I used to work at North American Shipbuilding, and we worked on this boat. It was called the Laney Schwest, and we have a slide up here. And what this boat is, it's an anchor handling tug supply vessel. It's ginormous. It doesn't look that big in the picture, but it's ginormous. It's huge. And these boats, they were used to bring these giant anchors offshore. And you can see this giant anchor on the right-hand side. It's huge. It's a humongous anchor. And these anchors secure the rigs. And so these boats are not only used to bring these anchors out, but they're used to stabilize these anchors so that the rigs stay in place. All right? So pretty big anchor, pretty big setup. And I'm thankful I was able to be a part of that particular project. And so these anchors, as long as that rig is anchored, as long as that anchor is secured, it ain't going nowhere. Amen. What are you anchored to? What is your hope found in? What is anchoring your soul that no matter what, I'm not going anywhere? Amen. Is it in Christ? Is your soul anchored in Christ Jesus? You know, if you build upon that cornerstone, that building's going to stand. If you are anchored in Christ Jesus, you're not going to be moved. You're not going to be shaken whenever storms begin to arise. So let's look back at James chapter 1, verse 4 for our second observation in the scripture. "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So I would say that steadfastness is a continual work in us which will bring about perfection. It's a continual work in us which will bring about perfection. How many guys in this room and ladies can say that you are perfect right now, that you are absolutely perfect? You need no more work. You are perfect. Then you know what that means? More trials are needed to bring you to a point of perfection in your life. Amen. More trials are needed to bring me to a point of perfection in my life. I am not perfect. I'd be the first one to say this. My wife would second that. She would say that Ted is not a perfect man. I am not perfect. You are not perfect. But I like how Paul says in Romans 7, verse 18, he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." Can anybody relate with that this morning? Like, you want to do the right thing, right? You want to get into the Bible. You want to be faithful in your quiet time. You want to worship, but you don't do the things you want to do. Also, like what he says in Philippians 3:12, he says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own." And so I'm not perfect, but I'm pressing on to make it my own. One day I'm going to attain perfection whenever I'm with Christ. And then whenever I see Christ eye to eye, face to face, there will be no more imperfections in our lives. Amen. So we're looking at this and we say, well, we're not perfect yet. So we know that steadfastness is meant to bring about perfection. If that's the case, if Christ's perfect righteousness has been imputed to us as righteousness, then why then do we need steadfastness to produce in us perfection? And I like to think about this in the terms of refining gold and refining precious metals. If you're familiar with the process at all, whenever you first take that gold, let's just first establish the fact that it is gold, all right? It is a precious metal. Whatever that precious metal is, it is that. It is gold. But then if you want that precious metal to have some value to it, what you're going to do is you're going to refine that precious metal. You're going to turn the heat up a bit. I'm talking like way up, like between 800 and 1300 degrees is what it takes to begin to melt gold. And so what happens is as you heat it up, as you turn up the heat on that gold, it becomes liquid. It becomes molten metal, like a precious metal. At that point, you are then able to, as you stir that molten metal, all the imperfections, all the impurities, all, they call it dross, begins to rise to the surface. Then they scoop out the dross. They scoop out those imperfections. They scoop it all out. So that at the end of the refining process, the gold that was originally put into that kiln is now more valuable, more precious than it was before. That's why we need the refining process. That's why we need steadfastness to produce in us perfection. See, at the moment of salvation, at the moment of faith, at the moment of confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a Christian. You are a Christian. But at the same time, the Lord, he will turn up the heat so that those imperfections begin to rise to the surface, so that at the end result is that there's something valuable. And when you stand before the Lord, our God, all the dross and all the imperfections will be gone, and what will remain is something beautiful, something valuable. Amen. It comes from trials. It doesn't come no easy way. It comes from those trials. It comes from being steadfast in those trials. It comes from letting that anchor, of the hope that we have in Christ, secure you in the midst of those trials. Know that God is refining you. God is making you something valuable. Amen. Now, the Bible also talks about like a time when we will be perfect. And I want to just bring that up. In Revelations 21, 3 to 4, it says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." In order for us to stand before a perfect and holy and righteous God, we must be perfect. We're going to be perfect by the blood of the Lamb. Let me just tell you that this morning, that the righteousness of Christ and what he endured on the cross, that was enough to make you perfect. And when you stand before God, he's going to say, wow, perfection. He said the former things will be no more. There will be no more sin. There will be no more shame. There will be no more guilt. There will be no more pain. Those former things will be gone. You will be perfect in the presence of God. Steadfastness will bring about perfection. He's working in us right now. But one day, when we are in his presence, we're going to be perfect. Wow. I like this next part. It says, when steadfastness, this is my third observation, when steadfastness has had its full effect on our lives, we will lack nothing. Going back to the scripture, we will lack nothing. Now, you think about this, and you're like, man, it seems like the very presence of trials brings about the knowledge of our lack. For instance, like if there's a family struggling financially, struggling to make ends meet, That is certainly a trial. And it would appear to be lack in that particular case. Or you look at the Christian who is struggling with an addiction, struggling with a sin problem, you know, and they had that scripture, I want to do what is right, but yet I'm trying, but I just fall short. It would certainly be a trial, and it would certainly appear to be lack. Or if you're a pastor of a church that has been torn apart from COVID, and you're in a city that has been destroyed by a hurricane, it certainly is a trial, and it certainly appears to be lack. Lack of resources, lack of interest of people wanting to fix their own properties. It would certainly appear to be lack. So how does steadfastness bring us to a point in which we do not lack? I would answer that by saying that as we take steps, as we take that first step, one foot in front of the other, in obedience to God and what God has called you to do, that God will command a blessing so that you will not lack. Amen? And just to give you guys an example, we've seen this demonstrated in our lives over and over again. But one recently was with the hurricane. So we evacuated. We got out of town. At the time, I had COVID, and we wanted to be like in a place where, you know, if I had to go to a hospital, that there would be hospitals available. So we evacuated all the way to Colorado. I mean, that's like 20 hours of driving. It's crazy, right? So we got out of town, and you know, so the only thing that we can do as we know this hurricane is approaching is pray. We're watching the news, and we're hearing reports. We're hearing that Grand Isle is just totally annihilated. We're hearing different reports from people here in Houma and in Burr, and we're like, man, you know what? I don't know if I really want to go back. It's so beautiful here. It's so beautiful here in Colorado. Let's just say, you know what? Let's just start a new life over here. It's beautiful, right? In the mountains. Steadfastness, just to read that definition again, the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and suffering. So when steadfastness kicks in, being obedient, taking that one step, that first step. For us, that first step was like, God called you to the east side. Get back to the east side. Whew. Yes, Lord. We took that first step. And let me just say, as we took that first step, that the Lord commanded a blessing. You know, even before we took that first step, the Lord commanded a blessing. We had churches contacting us. We had organizations contacting us. Hey, we want to bring 5 semi-trucks to you guys so that you can distribute to your community. We want to bring cargo trailers full of supplies, full of food and water. We want to bring these things to you guys. The Lord had commanded a blessing even before we took that first step. And we get here and we're like, man, this place has been torn apart. It's been ripped apart. You see all the telephone poles just down. You see the electricity out. You see houses ripped apart and our community destroyed. And you're like, let's just pack it back up and go back to Colorado because it was so much nicer. I'm not going to lie. It was very tempting to do that. But steadfastness, saying, God, I'm going to be obedient, take that next step. What is the next step you wanted me to take, Lord? I'm going to take that step. And I really believe at that time the Lord spoke to me. He says, look, if you remain, I will provide. If you remain, I will provide. And I'm looking at the natural. I'm like, God, this place looks like it's been hit by a bomb. It looked hopeless, and some of it still looks hopeless. The Lord says, if you remain, I will provide. And let me just say that we have not lacked. We have not lacked. This, I mean, really, 2021 was probably our best financial year, our best financial year ever since the beginning of this church. And we're wondering, how in the world, Lord, will we make it step in front of step in in front of step. God, I'm going to walk in obedience. This is what you called me to. I'm going to remain and you will provide. I'm going to remain in you. My soul is anchored to Jesus Christ and the hope that is in Christ. I'm going to remain in Christ. I'm going to continue to walk forward and to march forward and to stand firm in the things of God. I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. I'm going to remain steadfast. I know it's difficult, and what we see with our eyes, it looks impossible. But God, amen. Can I get a but God in this place? Does anyone know that the goodness of God and that God is able to make a way when there seems to be no way? He's able to make a way. I'm not sure what trial you're facing this morning. I'm not sure where you need to be steadfast in, but I hope this message is encouraging to you, that you would remain, that your soul would be anchored to the foundation of Jesus Christ our Lord. You will not be shaken. You will not be moved. You will march forward and you will stand firm. Just to recap, steadfastness comes from the testing of your faith. Know that your faith will be tested. It will stand trial, but the Lord is doing something. He is purifying you. He is making you more valuable, and more valuable as you go through those trials, as you're hanging on to Him. Your faith is going to be tested, amen. And then He says, steadfast is a continual work in us, which is bringing about perfection. We're not perfect yet, so we know we got a lot of trials to go, amen. And then finally, the steadfastness, when it has its full effect on our lives, we will lack nothing. And I would say we didn't only lack nothing. There were blessings upon blessings upon blessings. In fact, you look at this right here. My brother-in-law says, look, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars to buy you a drum set. It has to go towards the drums. And I'm like, yes, sir. You know, and so I'm like, I didn't have no problem with that at all. But it was a blessing. We didn't pay for this. It was totally given to us. Whenever you take a step and begin to say, I'm going to remain, I'm going to be steadfast for the Lord, man, He takes care of you. He provides for you. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard taking that first step because you don't know. You're looking around and businesses are leaving the east side and many churches have been destroyed and you're like, God, I'm just going to take the next step. I'm just going to remain. Someone needs to take that step. Amen. Someone needs to take that next step. The Lord is speaking to you, and you know what that next step is. I'd encourage you that you would begin to do it. Step out in faith. Believe God. Trust in Him. Remain steadfast. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come before you. And Lord, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for this series, God. If we know, Lord, it is from you. Help us, Lord, to be people who are steadfast, that our souls will be anchored in the hope that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us be immovable, unshakable, abounding in the good works of the Lord. Just thank you, Lord, so much. Lord, for those who are just struggling with steadfastness, God, would you just help them, Lord, this morning? Would you encourage them, Lord, by your Spirit? Would you just let them know that you're going to be right alongside of them? It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. God, we believe that you are a supernatural God. We trust in you. Have your way in our lives, Lord Jesus. Help us to be steadfast. We love you and we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory in this place today. In Jesus' name, and let the church say amen.
And we encourage you, go forward, march forward, stand firm. There's a sign-up table at the right when you're walking out. Help us serve. We have some sign-ups. We love you guys. Hug someone's neck and be steadfast. In Jesus' name, we'll see you this Wednesday at 6:30.